Welcome to Heard It Here First. I am Rafiq with the magnificent Malachi.
We are here to talk about the rest NBA wild, wonderful offseason. This will be part two. So, with that being said, we're going to try to pick up where we left off. Apologize for anything that we may have missed. Kind of
interesting. All right. So, the first trade we're going to talk about is Atlanta trading that terrible contract of Allen Krabs. The 2020 first round top 14 protected pick and Nickeil Alexander-Walker to Atlanta. And Brooklyn getting Taurean Prince in 2021 for a second round pick. Is that even right?
I don't know.
That can't be right. Hold on a second.
No, that was the trade. I remember that trade.
I thought he was on the Pelicans.
He's moved around.
Oh, I remember now because they traded the pick. Oh, yeah, that confused me. Yeah, so they traded the pick for him. Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah.
And for Taurean Prince and a 2021 second round pick. Honestly, Atlanta just picked up. It was just, I don't even know what this is. Allen Krabs, I guess they needed to hit the floor. They do have a lot of salary cap that they need to fill in.
Well, they got a first round pick this year out of it. Mm-hmm. And a second first round pick one next year. Just for taking on Allen Krabs. So basically they got two picks for a guy. Where's Allen Krabs at? Is he in his last year?
He's 2016 guy, so I think so. He should be.
So they wanted to get a guy off that they could use like immediately to get him off. And they got two first round picks out of it.
Mm-hmm. And Taurean Prince is a decent NBA player. He's about as average can get. He's not a bad dude. He's not a great guy.
But you can't, I mean, if you're Atlanta, right, you can't beat getting off of a guy in Taurean Prince who's just, you know, he's average dude. Nothing heroic about him.
He's not a lot of money, though.
It's not a lot of money, but the deal is with Allen Krabs, you're not really looking at anything that you're trying to get this year. You're looking at the two first-round picks that you're getting out of. So you get Nickeil Alexander, who's a good, you know, he could be developed. And you get a second one in 2020. So I think that's a good deal. Taurean Prince, you know, not going to be that great. And then a 2021 second round pick, you're not going to do much with that. That player isn't even going to make the team because they got too many kids on that team.
So the next trade we've got is the Washington Wizards getting CJ Miles and Memphis getting Dwight Howard. This is a good trade for, actually, you're not going to believe this. This is a bad trade for both teams. Dwight Howard, not going to play in Memphis. More than likely going to get bought out. And if they choose not to, he'll just probably stick around, probably ride the bench. Like, kind of like Joakim Noah did a little bit when he played just a tiny bit. But Joakim Noah kind of right. And CJ Miles played, he's $8.7 million. That's a $3 million salary increase. He's not a super great player. He's taken a big step back ever since he, left the Raptors. He's been getting hurt. He's already gotten underwent surgery for a broken foot. So he'll miss some time with that. I don't know. I don't think either team won this trade. Dwight Howard, they have a massive problem at they have a massive problem with the bigs and cheap contracts in Washington. So I think that this, even though they got off a player that's supposedly toxic in the locker room and Dwight Howard, I feel like this is a bad deal because Dwight Howard at least stabilizes your salary.
Well, they only got 1 year of CJ Miles left, right? So they have this year, 2020, he's an unrestricted free agent. So I think that the guy was so toxic in Dwight Howard that they just wanted to move that dude. And Washington, I believe, is still below the luxury tax. And they just wanted to move the guy. Like, they didn't care what they got in return. They didn't care that his contract was basically $3 more million.
Tommy Shepard said it was the quickest trade of my life.
Well, I would say so, because Memphis went down $3 million. $3 million.
He said he didn't even know he's getting back. Tommy Shepard, GM of the Wizards.
That tells you that that guy just didn't want to be on that team. He didn't want him on that team.
This is fairly insignificant considering that DC probably won't play Miles, and Memphis is either going to buy out Dwight Howard or ride the bench. So we'll move on to the next trade. Minnesota getting Jarrett Culver and Phoenix getting Dario Saric and Cam Johnson. This might have been the worst trade. Not probably ever, but maybe this has got to be top in the worst of the decade. Like, so here's the thing. Jarrett Culver was the sixth best player in the entire draft coming out of Texas Tech. I remember him seeing him in the tournament. He was locking dudes up. His shooting was a little inconsistent, but that's because he had to give his all on defense. So he's a very good player. Reminds me a little bit of Jimmy Butler. Little shorter, just a little shorter. He might grow. I don't know how old he is. So I think that's a great player for Minnesota. Minnesota has the problems of Andrew Wiggins, who just refuses to, I don't know if he refuses to develop or he just like, I don't know if he can just adjust. I don't know what's going on with him. We got Cat, who also seems to have not developed since their first year in the NBA, even though they're still a very good player. And then you got the problem of they don't have a single point guard because Jeff T got hurt and Derrick Rose, as we'll talk about in a later podcast, left them. So they don't have any point guard still. If it were me in Minnesota, I believe Coby White was still on the board. So even though you take talent over that, I would have picked Coby White because I feel like they're not too far apart in talent to the point where that's unreasonable to pick Coby White 6 and Jarrett Culver 7. And then also for Phoenix, this is like, yo, Dario Saric, I guess he's a good cheap dude, adding another 23-year-old player on the team, 24-year-old. And then Cam Johnson. That's the worst. Let's talk about how bad the Cam Johnson pick was. I might eat my words later in like 4 or 5 years. I don't care. Cam Johnson might have been the worst pick I've ever seen. Probably that's better. That's worse than any of the Knicks picks I've ever seen. Like, Cam Johnson, on all the mock drafts, I looked at every single mock draft. The highest Cam Johnson was supposed to go was 25th. He got picked 11th in the NBA draft.
I think what's most upsetting is where he got picked, not that he got picked.
It's that combined with the fact that he went to – not only he went to Phoenix, he went way too high. I mean, let's talk about how Phoenix drafted all their dudes way too high. They drafted 2 players in the draft. Cam Johnson, who they probably could have gotten in the second round. They were lucky.
That's right.
And then they also got Ty Jerome, who I'm also pretty sure you could have gotten late second round that they picked up in the first.
Yeah.
So they picked up 2 second round dudes in the first round.
I think that's the problem, though. That's the problem, is that it's where these guys are NBA. Well, I don't know about the Ty Jerome. But Cam Johnson, I can't say. I've watched him play a lot, and he's a good basketball player.
Yeah, he's a decent player. But I can't see him being any more than, like, a 3-and-D dude. I know he's very tall, like 6'8". But, like, as we just said, CJ Miles is 6'8". Like, I'm not saying that they're the same dude. I'm just saying they're similar height and do similar things. And Cam Johnson's kind of old. Wasn't he the oldest player in the draft?
I think so. He played for 3 years at Pittsburgh.
Yeah, so Cam Johnson is like three. So he's probably like 23, 24 years old, which makes him like – means that you got a really – not only a really old player, the 11th pick, but considering the NBA draft, Cam Johnson, he doesn't – even at 3 years isn't that people usually hit their prime. I'm gonna say around 27 to 30. That's probably right. People's primes.
Right.
So he's only got 3 years. So there's not too much development in between 24 and 27 usually.
I think so. I think in this kid's case it is. He's gonna play pro ball.
I don't think there's a massive development going. Like, I don't think that much can happen in that little time. I don't think you're just going to see Cam Johnson play and be like a spot-up shooter 1 year, and then like 2 years later, Cam Johnson's going to be like, he's going to be turning into a Reggie Miller type dude. I don't think that's going to happen.
I think he's going to be a role player, a 3-and-D, which is for the 11th pick is pretty decent.
Yeah, but...
You know, if you can get like a Bruce Bowen type guy with the 11th pick, you know, because everybody on that team can't be a star, right?
No.
You supposed to have drafted Aiden. You drafted Booker. You have Rubio. You got all these guys. Like, how many guys do you want that's supposed to be prime time? If he fills the role of just being a spot-up shooter, which they frankly didn't have last year other than T.J. Warren maybe, then maybe he can get some run and he plays decent defense. I think I'm not as down on this pick. I'm down on where the pick was taken, but I'm not down on the player.
I'm down on the pick. I wouldn't hate this. If this was the 33rd pick in a draft, I wouldn't have a problem with it. I feel like that would be a good pickup. Now they do have some shooters already, like Oubre and Mikal Bridges. That's already kind of what they do. But Cam Johnson, he stands in the corner. He knocks it down. He's got a good size for the NBA, like 6'9". Can play the guard and probably the three. So I don't know. I feel like that's a decent – that's a great pickup for Minnesota. Trade Jimmy Butler, get Jimmy Butler back. And get Phoenix getting Dario Saric, who probably will be gone. I'm gonna say at the deadline. I don't think he'll last. He's a deadline dude. And then Cam Johnson will probably be there probably the 4 years. Unless you get another case of Josh Jackson and they just are gone in a couple of years. The next trade we have is a three-way trade. We've got Brooklyn getting Aaron White and Nemanja. Don't want to pronounce that. And Washington getting Davis Bertans. A lot of people would say a bunch of different ways.
What about Kimba?
We already went over that.
Oh. Okay.
And then San Antonio, we've got Damari Carroll. So Brooklyn, don't know who those people are. Sorry. Probably not going to do anything. Washington, Davis, whatever people call him, Bertans. He's a knockdown dude from San Antonio. It's a bit essentially a salary, exact salary for exact salary type of deal. Davis Bertans making $7 million and Damari Carroll making $7 million. So he's a knockdown dude. I've seen him. He can shoot very, very well. He's got a lot of. Did he lead the league?
I think he led the league in 3-pointers.
Either way,
he's outstanding, man.
Yeah, so he's a great player. He's got a lot of size to him. He's like a 6'10" power forward. He shot 42% from three last year. That's got to be towards the top of the league at least. Joe Harris shot 47%, so that's something. You know, I feel like this is a good pickup for Washington Wizards. They need a lot of Damari Carroll fits exactly what the Spurs like, a 3-and-D dude. That's exactly what they love to have. They love Damari Carroll like players. It's like when they used to have Quincy Pondexter. They love those kind of guys. So yeah, Bertans was 6th in the league in 3-point percentage. So that's like.
He can shoot it, man. Of course, you know what his problem is. It's on the other end of the floor.
Yeah. But Damari Carroll, not a bad player. He got his new contract, not that old 2016 one he got from the Raptors. And they had to max it. My dad, they gave it to him from Atlanta. So I think that's a very good trade. Yeah, so let's move on to the next one. So we got Malcolm Brogdon going to the Indiana Pacers, and the Milwaukee Bucks got back a 2020 first round pick, a 2021 second round pick, and a top in a 2025 second round pick. So a lot of heavily protections on these picks. So it's a sign and trade. So essentially, why people would do a sign and trade, for people who don't know what a sign and trade is, people would just do it to you can get more value from the team, because you can get a a lot more money that way. So you could be able to do a super max.
What does the team get who's trading for the guy? What do they get in return?
Nothing. It just essentially player can get paid, and the team back can get assets for the player that they're trading away. So
do they get an extra year or something, or
salary? Extra year, they can get extra money. Certain things happen. Not now.
Bird rights?
They sign them with bird rights usually. Okay. So that's what happened in this case. Malcolm Brogdon. I feel like this really hurts the Bucks, because Brogdon, to me, saved them a lot of – bailed them out a lot in the playoffs over the last two, three years. They would just, like, be down on their luck, and they just happen to get Brogdon the ball in the corner. He'd just knock it down every single time. He would get it – he would just get the ball and knock it down. And that saved them so much. But Indiana – they're going to have a defensive backcourt of Brogdon and Oladipo with him. So he's a – Brogdon, to me, is not really a point guard, but that's how they play him in the NBA.
Right.
They're going to have him. They're going to have T.J. McConnell. They're going to have all kinds of players to surround Malcolm Brogdon and Oladipo and Miles Turner. And so they've got all these players. They've done a really good job at building up a team out of nothing, because nobody really wants to go to Indiana to play basketball. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, Indiana fans, but nobody wants to come live in your city. So if they have the option between going to Miami and going to Indiana, they're choosing Miami. So they've done it.
So you think this is a this championship team? I mean,
absolutely not a championship team. As long as the other teams exist, you know, your 76ers, your Bucks, not your Raptors anymore, but those kind of teams exist, they might get to the finals. It's possible, but unlikely.
Well, they are into the luxury tax.
Oh, of course.
But
still got Oladipo on that cheap contract, though.
So they're into the luxury tax now.
Yeah.
And I think that you know, they their average age is 24.9, so they got a bunch of kids on the team.
Oh, Lord.
You know, I think that I like what they've got. I like Oladipo if he comes back this year. I think that they can do some things for sure. Miles Turner, to me, he's kind of down there by himself, but they drafted the big guy.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember his name, but they drafted that big guy from overseas.
Yeah.
So maybe that does something. But I think they're going all in. I think they're going all in for this thing here. No, as a matter of fact, they're doing well on the books. Let me get that right. They're doing well on the books. They're only 26 in payroll. So Oladipo, Brogdon, and Turner. They got T.J. Warren, Jeremy Lamb. I like that for those first five. I think that's really solid, man. Really solid. I think that T.J. Warren can actually slide to the four and play that. Jeremy Lamb, I think, is a legit three. And Oladipo and Brogdon in the backcourt, I think, is good. I think Sabonis as a backup center, T.J. McConnell or Justin Holiday. And then there's Goga, Bidize.
I love Goga.
Yeah, I think he could be a backup five. And then the rest of these guys are, you know, nothing to write home about. T.J. Leaf, and Aaron Holiday. But I think they got a legit 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys. Dougie McBuckets, I'm not really impressed by him very much. But he's just an average NBA player to me. But those first five, I think, are solid, man. I really like the move.
Yeah, I think they're a good team. I think they'll three seed. Yeah. So I think they're a good basketball team. So next we got a 4-team trade. Wow. We got the LA Clippers receiving Mo Harkless in a 2023 first round pick, lottery protected through 2025. And this 2026 unprotected by Miami. Matthias Lesor. And then I don't ask me these questions. and then Portland getting the Hassan Whiteside contract. Ooh, boy, Philly taking
on. Is that a super max? Or
it's a max. It's a 2016 max. And then Philly taking on Josh Richardson. And Miami is getting Jimmy Butler and Myers Leonard and $110,000 in cash. All right, let's go team by team. L.A., Mo Harkless has a pretty nice-sized contract. Not saying he's a bad player. Not saying he's a great player. I'd say he's an above-average NBA player that does pretty well.
I agree.
Matthias Lesor, don't know who that is, but the pick will help, I guess. Mo Harkless, he might do something on the Clippers. Maybe third string, small forward. Because they still got, what's his name? They don't have, not Gallinari. They have another guy. I can't remember his name. They have another person on the team.
I think he's going to be tough behind George
and Kawhi.
So, I think that's as good as a backup dude as you can ask for. Because Mo Harkless can shoot it, man. That's his thing.
Yeah.
You know, and they only got him at 1 year. This is his last year.
He's a really good defensive rebounding guy. So,
yeah.
Portland, Hassan Whiteside. I actually think this is a very good trade, and here's why. They're not going to have Nurkic for, like, most of the season.
Right.
So why not go get you a center while you don't have your center? And then when your center comes back, and even though he might not be in the best condition, y'all still have Hassan Whiteside and Nurkic in the backcourt or in the frontcourt.
Right.
That's a tough matchup to deal with because you got Nurkic and Hassan Whiteside. No, people don't realize this. Hassan Whiteside, according to numbers, is the second greatest rebounder in NBA history.
Wow.
So number one is DeAndre Jordan, and number two is Hassan Whiteside. He's better than Dennis Rodman, which people wouldn't expect. So Hassan Whiteside on a glass with Nurkic is really going to help them. Because when McCollum and Lillard be chucking up their shots, as usual, they're going to have somebody to go get the rebounds. And also, don't forget that they got, what's his name, on a come-up, Anthony Simons, the kid that came out of high school. They got late first round last year. Is a guard. He's getting good. He looked really good in summer league. And then they also have Nasir Little. So
that was a fantastic pickup.
Yeah, so they've got two guard wings, and then they also have guys that can play defense really well, like Zach Collins. They don't have Myers Leonard anymore. But they have other players that get the job done on rebounding, and they let McCollum and Lillard do what they need to do, which is put up the shots, play minimal defense. And they're allowed to do that because they have these guys on their team to help cover them up. So I feel like this is a good.
Well, the Portland Trailblazers remind me a little bit of the old one, Trailblazers. They got every name an NBA team could ever ask for.
Mm-hmm.
They got, of course, Lillard and McCollum, both making $29 and $27 million. Then they got Whiteside at $27 million. Then they got Bazemore and Nurkic, Rodney Hood, Zach Collins, who came on, Scal Labissiere, who's a body. He's a young kid. Anthony Simons, Nasir Little, Mario Hazonga. They got him for 1.7.
Yeah.
And they got Paul Gasol.
Yeah.
And Anthony Tolliver.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good team, man. Like, I can see those guys making it to the final. I mean, they really, you know, as long as McCollum and Lillard are doing their thing, they've got a third scorer in Gasol, not Gasol, but I guess you can say Gasol and then and Whiteside together. That's pretty good for three scorers. And the fourth scorer, of course, could be Rodney Hood. So I think they're doing well, man. They don't have any other guards from what I see, other than Damian Lillard and McCollum. I don't think that any of these other dudes are ready for
Bazemore, prime time. Bazemore can play decent. And then Simons and also Gary Trent Jr. are pretty decent players. So I think that they'll be a good team in the future. Not in the future. I think they'll be a good team now, actually. Because really the only competition is the Clippers, Lakers, and maybe the Nuggets. And then that's it. That's all you got to deal with. They might be a 3 seed, 4 seed. They might shock you and get up to the 1 seed somehow from the chemistry.
I think it's going to be real exciting out there this year.
So, good job for Portland. Philly, Josh Richardson, he fits. I think that losing Jimmy Butler, the best way you could fix that was getting back a player like Josh Richardson who can shoot, play really good defense. He's still on the younger side, I believe.
He is.
And he plays two. You've lost J.J. Redick. You got all these players leaving and coming back in. So I think Josh Richardson will really fix the team up because they really need a player like him. And then Miami, I mean, I'm sorry to say it, but Miami ain't going nowhere right now, bro.
Nope. Myers, I don't agree. I agree with you.
Myers Leonard, decent player, went off in the playoffs. He can shoot his butt off at 7-1. But Jimmy Butler, decent player. I think he's a locker room problem, just like Dwight Howard is. But because you saw when he went to Philly, he was complaining about his offensive numbers and touches and this and that. That's why Embiid sat out. It's caused all these problems. So I think they got it together later in the year. But once he got there, he was causing problems. So I don't know if it's going to happen with Miami because, again, they got a lot of young dudes too, like Bam Adebayo. They got players that don't play up to their expectations, like a player like Goran Dragic who gets hurt a lot. Or I can see him getting into it with Deion Waiters or Justice Winslow. I can already see it just because that's how he is.
Yeah, I think that you know, they got 4 years of Jimmy Butler. I think it's going to be a unique experience being with him. Now, Pat Riley, I think – I don't think you're going to have any problems out of Jimmy. I really don't. I think Pat Riley and Spoelstra can handle that. Then they've had better players than him before. But I think what the problem is that he's just not – a number one.
No, just, not at all.
And I think
we saw that in Chicago.
We saw that. And he tries hard. He plays his butt off. But he's not a number one. He's a number two guy. And I think when you ask him to be number one, he's going to become more inefficient. I think his defense is going to slip. I think that the shots that he takes, I think he's going to get a lot of minutes in the regular season. And I think as Jimmy does, he plays so hard. He's a really good player, but I think he's going to break down at some point. And he's breaking down at 32.7 this year, 34.3, 36, and then 37.6 in that fourth year. So, you know, with the team that they have around him, which really is not a shooting team other than maybe Myles Leonard, and Myers Leonard and maybe Dragic if he can still pull it together, there's no shooting on this team. None. Mm-hmm. None. Winslow's not a good shooter.
Well, he's gotten better.
But he's not a knockdown guy. He's not a, you know, a guy that you can put out there. And
well, no, he's gotten better at shooting. I wouldn't say he's a terrible player. I wouldn't say he's not a bad I wouldn't be mad if he was my spot-up shooter. But the thing is that they don't have – first of all, their guards are, like, non-floor spacers whatsoever. See, Justice Winslow shot 37%. That's a pretty good player from three.
That's pretty good shooting. Pretty good on
nearly four of those a game. That's not a bad. But my problem would be Jimmy Butler, because he can't really space the floor. You've got Deion. They lost Wayne Ellington, who was their floor spacer. Right. They'd have Bam Adebayo. Kelly Olynyk really isn't what they expected him to be, which was a floor spacing center. Right. Players like James Johnson, not a floor spacer. Deion isn't really much of a floor spacer anymore. They have a terrible floor spacing team in a day and age where you kind of need that unless they want to run a lineup similar to how a little more packed, more like a if they want to run a more Detroit Piston-like lineup where it's a little more packed and they want to focus on defense. Because I think this team could focus on defense. I just don't know if that can work nowadays.
Yeah, I agree with you. They got some really good defenders, really good ones. Bam is coming into his own. Dragic obviously can't play any defense, but Myers Leonard, he gives a good effort. I think Winslow's good on the wing. I think they're going to get 45 games out of these guys and probably get a fifth seed, sixth seed, somewhere around in there. I can see them easily doing that. But if Jimmy breaks down, you know, who knows what can happen with that one. So
yeah. So the next deal we got is Memphis trade getting Grayson Allen, Kyle Korver, Jay Crowder, a 2020 first round pick that's top seven protected and protected 15 through 30. And it's just a heavily, heavily protected 2020 first round pick. And Darius Bazley from Mike Conley. Okay, so look, Memphis, Grayson Allen already tripped somebody in the summer league. He already got to tripping somebody. He got two flagrants in, 30 seconds? So y'all said he was going to change. He ain't changed one bit. Kyle Korver, probably going to get bought out. I don't know if he's been bought out yet. Oh, no, wait, because he signed with the Bucks?
He went to the Bucks. Yeah,
so Kyle Korver, good player. I trust that he'll do well in Milwaukee. But he was just there to probably match the money up. You got Jay Crowder, good player, not a great player to me. He's not been the same since Boston. I think it had something to do with the way Brad Stevens played, calls up his sets. Jay Crowder, good player. Memphis, obviously, they need to stack up on picks. No matter how heavily protected it is, they're not going to win that many games, even though they have Ja Morant and the combination of Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson and the GOAT, Dwight Howard. Darius Bazley, as you'll see later, was flipped for to me was a very good player. I guess we can just kind of discuss that since it's the same deal. Oklahoma City getting Darius Bazley in a second round pick for Brandon Clark. Brandon Clark to me was a very good player at Gonzaga, and I feel like he covered up a lot on defense because some Gonzaga players usually don't play the best defense all the time. Darius Bazley, he's the high school kid that was doing internship at New Balance instead of going to college. So I respect that. He's trying to find his own way. Oklahoma City stacking on picks. They knew it was going to happen. Utah picking up Mike Conley. To me, I'm telling y'all right now, Utah's going to be a top five team in the West.
Wow.
I'm going – top five teams in the West. I got the Clippers 1, Lakers 2. I'm deciding which one of those. I'm still stuck between them. I got number 3 as Portland. Number 4 is Utah. And number 5 is Golden State. That's what I have as. That is my top five. I got Utah being the 4th best team in the West again. They usually manage to do it. But this year, they've upgraded from Ricky Rubio to Mike Conley, who, if he doesn't get hurt a bunch, they're going to win a lot of games. that I can see this team getting over 50 wins with Mike, with Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell, Ingles. Oh, and no, wait, not Ingles no more. Bogdanovich.
Where's Ingles? Where is he at?
He'll probably go to the bench. The four, I don't remember what four they picked up. They got Gobert, obviously. And they've got Moutier, who's a pretty decent backup.
Ugh.
Ingles. I feel
Moutier
like this is,
jump shot.
I feel like this is like a very good team. Could win. I can see them winning over 50 games.
Okay.
They lost a couple players. As we'll talk about later, Derek Favors, those kind of players.
I just want to mention that they got Donovan Mitchell making $3.635 million.
Oh, my God.
Hero.
He really is. He's a hero.
They got him making $3.6 million. Mike Conley making $32.5 million. I got him making $3.6 million. Woo, it's going to be time to pay the piper, boy.
Yeah, so they've got two team options because I believe he came around. Yeah, so they have two more team options, and then that'll be – no, this is one of the first team option year. The next one is the next team option, and then he's up.
Yeah.
I think. So
he's gonna get 5.2 next year, and that's when he'll sign the extension.
Yeah, so this is gonna be a rough year for them. So let's just go on to the next trade. Boston getting a 2020 first round pick that's a Milwaukee top seven protected, conveys to be a unprotected 2021, and Phoenix getting Aaron Baines, the GOAT. And Ty Jerome, look, this is the greatest pickup for Phoenix. They picked up Aaron Baines, all right? I don't know if y'all follow Woj's Twitter or even look at it, but there's this troll in the comment section that is causing the biggest Aaron Baines fan you'll ever see. And all the time he comments, like, for example, they talk about Westbrook getting traded. It's like finally Aaron Baines has some competition in the West, you know? How is Aaron Baines
– I think he's going to help Aiden tremendously.
Oh, my God. He's his mentor. Aiden, as we saw, let Thomas Bryant not kill him once, kill him twice.
Right, right.
And Thomas Bryant's only been in the league 2 years, so it's not like he has a super advanced knowledge of how to play him.
Right.
Again, he's only got 2 years of experience in the NBA. Not saying that that's, like, not a lot, but it's not a lot. So he shouldn't be dropping. What did he get it on him? 31 in the first game and like on 14 of 14 efficiency.
Yeah.
And then he came back into Phoenix and dropped like 28 and 15 and hit the game winner on him. You can't let that happen. You just can't let that happen. You can't let
first pick of the draft.
You can't let not only go – so going into their house and letting somebody score 14 for 14 on you shows that your defense was non-existent, all right? I don't care he grabbed like 17, 18 rebounds, bodied. And then he went into Phoenix, Thomas Bryant, and then gave him like 28 and 15 with the game winner on him. You can't let that happen. You just can't let that happen. Thomas Bryant seems to love playing DeAndre Ayton, as you can see when he gets out on the court. You see him get out on the court. He looks like he's super energized. He's ready because he sees him out there and he just get all excited. He be running hard. You just can see it in Thomas Bryant's face that he really wants to play Aiden. So I feel like Baines will mentor him in how to play defense properly. Possibly enhance his shooting a little bit. I'm not saying Baines is a shooter, but I'm saying he can shoot a little bit.
He can shoot from the corners. He's not so bad.
All right. As I ranted about earlier, Ty Jerome, another bad pickup from Phoenix. I know they needed a point guard, but like they should have done all they possibly could and traded up to get. Didn't they have the sixth pick? I don't understand. Here's what I don't understand. So they had the sixth pick and they have a point guard problem. They didn't sign a point guard. Kobe White's on the board. He's supposed to go seven, but you can pick him six. Why would you trade that for Dario Saric and Cam Johnson? Dario Saric going to be gone by the deadline, and Cam Johnson's another wing.
Because they signed – they got Rubio
but
in
that's,
the deal.
They overpaid him. So what I'm trying to figure out, why wouldn't you pay if they're trying to be cheap? Why would you go get Rubio for like $18 million? We can get Kobe White on a rookie contract.
Maybe they have to hit the floor. I don't quite –
they can hit the floor
because
they have the Tyler Johnson deal. They should be able to hit the floor with the Tyler Johnson, and then they got Booker. I think Booker's contract kicks in.
They are, let's see.
Because I'm pretty sure the Booker.
They're 20th in the league right now at 119 million. Yeah, they're 20th in the league. So they're paying Booker 27.28.
Yeah,
and then
Tyler
Johnson at 19.2. If you eliminated the Rubio at 16.2, the next one would be Oubre at 15.6, and then that would be it. So they wouldn't have.
But here's the thing. The other thing is TJ Warren had a nice deal. TJ Warren was making like, I'm pretty sure, $12, $13 million. So
yeah,
you
was.
Traded a good contract that had some money to go get some more money.
Yeah, but the rest of their team, after DeAndre Ayton at 9.5, is Baines at 5.4, Kaminsky 4.7, Mikal Bridges 4.1. So they got a bunch of guys on rookie deals that the next guys after Kaminsky, there's 1, 2, 3, 4 guys on rookie deals. Mm. Not to mention Aiden on a rookie deal. So, you know, at some point, you're going to have to hit the floor. And these dudes aren't going to play. Like Shaq Diallo, Javon Carter, he might play a little bit. He's one of my favorite guys. Okobo.
Oh, Alec Okobo. He didn't. He played.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he played starting point guard last year. I think it was him. They switched between him and DeAnthony Melton, so that was a tragedy.
Yeah, I mean they're paying. He's 21.
What they could have
done
if they were smart is they could have signed Kobe, drafted Kobe White, and then signed Rubio. And then you really,
they could have,
which wouldn't cause a point guard problem because they still don't have a backup point guard of any kind. So what
they probably
should have done is drafted Kobe White and then signed Rubio. And then you'd have a backup and a starting point guard because you could either back up Kobe White or you could start and or back up Rubio.
I agree. That's probably the thing. And then they would have had Tyler Johnson. The problem is they got Johnson and Booker. I don't know what you're gonna do with them two dudes, but
you know
Boston, they got guys on their team. They just got a bunch of dudes.
Yeah, Boston picked up a pick. You know, they've already got too many as it is. They're not picks that are really turning into anything. What looked like Danny Ainge finessing teams a few years ago looks like he just got a bunch of picks from some teams that are starting to win now. So,
yeah,
it's not
that's
a super –
that's the thing, right?
Yeah, so it was like, oh, my God, he has a Kings pick, and he has a Memphis pick – or a, not a Memphis. Well, he does have a Memphis pick. But he's got a Kings pick, and he's got a Nets pick, and he's got this and that. When it's like, now those teams are starting to be decent NBA teams, and it's like, okay, maybe this isn't as good as we thought it was. Because even though he got a lottery pick out of that Kings pick, but we were like, oh, my God, this is definitely number two, number three pick right here, like a few years ago.
Right.
So I can – this that was a decent deal. Phoenix got Aaron Baines picked Ty Jerome too high. So next we got the big kahuna. The Lakers picking up Anthony Davis in a 2023 first round pick, right? With swapping. Can be deferred to 2025. We got the New Orleans Pelicans getting $1.1 million in cash. Josh Hart, Lonzo, 2024 first round pick, 2021 first round pick, top 8 protected, unprotected in 2022.
That's
Brandon
huge.
Ingram.
2022 is the high school draft.
Yeah. Brandon Ingram, a $1 million in cash, again, from Atlanta. And DeAndre Hunter. And then Washington getting
– Who is DeAndre Hunter?
We'll talk about that in a second. Mo Wagner, 2020 second-round pick. Jamario Jones and Isaac Bonga. All right. Let's talk. Let's start with who this benefits the least, the Washington Wizards. All right. So, so Washington, good. Here's the thing. They just basically got a bunch of they've got a bunch of young guys for the price of nothing, essentially. That's what they just did. They picked up a bunch of young guys and three of them. So they might hit, they might miss. And they all they sent for it was what I think was $1 million in cash. So that was a great trade for Washington, I think, because Mo Wagner, I'm assuming, will be probably the backup four or five. They're already seeming to like him in the organization. Jamario Jones, I seen this dude. I think he's 6'4", but he's like a rebounding god. So that's what he does. I don't understand how. So he's one of those guys that does something that they shouldn't be doing, but they do it anyway. So he's a 6'5 small forward out of New Mexico State. He played six games last year in around 24 minutes, averaged 4.5 points, terrible shooting, but then went and grabbed 8.2 rebounds. So I feel like at 23, he'll probably won't. He'll maybe be a Reggie. He's a little small at 174 pounds. So maybe. I don't know.
Guy?
I'm trying to think. Who's like a rebounding wing? Who a dude who goes in there and just rebounds as a wing? With like, I'm trying to think. They exist. They're like, when he's like, he plays like a dude from the 70s. Like one of those dudes that is like a three that doesn't shoot too well, but they rebound. Like they're like 6'2". That's what he plays like. And then we got the GOAT, the 2K legend, the 63 overall, Isaac Bonga. All right. Also, shout out to my man for recently getting a 97 overall in 2K. Shout out to Ronnie. Ronnie, that was the best decision. Should have made him a 99, though. We wanted a 99 everything, Isaac Bonga. Make it happen. 6'9" point guard from the Los Angeles Lakers. G League. Let's get this out the way. This kid has no skills, NBA skills. He has one NBA skill, and that NBA skill is potential. Lots of
height.
Height. No, he has potential. Now, he's 6'8", 6'9", 180 pounds. He's very skinny, but he's grown a little bit in terms of weight. He is the youngest player in the NBA this past season at 19. He came in the league at like 18, I think. He just turned 18 almost. So Isaac Bonga, very, very young player. He's kind of like Dragan Bender a little bit in the sense that they're very young with very high potential. Not saying they worked out for Dragan Bender. Well, I won't say anything because he was in Phoenix. But Isaac Bonga did decently in the G League. Decently. He played very decently. He's a jack of all trades dude in the G League. Like, he just kind of does everything pretty well. He's not the worst defender. He's a pretty good team defender. They make that, like, a requirement in Europe ball. He's a pretty good three-point – he's a pretty decent at finishing. The one thing he doesn't have exactly right now is a jump shot. He won't get the ball stolen from him, so I think he's a true point guard. Uh-huh. He's a very good pass. He's great passing vision, but the thing that keeps him in the NBA and will keep him in the NBA is probably potential. The fact that he's 19 years old, has the chance to become a 6'9 point guard, which is like every GM's dream. So, you know, Bonga, I think that's pretty good. I'm not mad at that by the Wizards. They just essentially traded cash for three 22, 23-year-old kids. One of those has to hit just a little bit.
He's the oldest looking 19-year-old I've ever seen in my life. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, he look a little old, bro. I can't even lie.
That's all I'm going to say.
He looks like the old, but he looked very old, but he's German. So I'm not going to say he's from another country or so. Well, he could get an Ersan Ilyasova. Not saying that Ersan Ilyasova is from another country, is older than he is. I'm not trying to get attacked by no government, but Isaac, Ersan, you look older than 30 something, bro. You's not what you say you is. I think Ersan Ilyasova, according to fact, is 32 years old. That is a bold lie. That is a whole lie. That man reached his prime when he was like 24 years old. You is not anybody's 32.
Right, right.
So anyway, we're getting off topic. Ersan, you way too old. New Orleans picking up 1 point. They got all the cash. Again, that's kind of what they wanted. Josh Hart. I think Josh Hart's a very good player. He's a spot-up guy so far. The Lakers got him, like, the late 20s. Lonzo, to me, is a great point guard as long as he won't get hurt. I have a YouTuber. His name is Troy Dan. He does obsess over this man. He loves some Lonzo Ball. He loves himself some Lonzo Ball. He's very sad that a lot of Lakers fans are sad Lonzo's gone because that was their dream 2 years ago to get Lonzo Ball. But now he's gone. I bet you he's happy to get out of there. At least with LeBron being there, his dad's probably not very happy. But who cares what LeVar thinks right now? So LeVar can't even get back on ESPN, so we ain't going to hear from him for a long time. So Lonzo, great point guard, actually. They got him and Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday's gonna play the two, I assume, again this year.
Right. Right.
Lonzo.
Or no, I think the two that they're gonna switch on and off, from what I understand.
Yeah. So Lonzo and Drew Holiday, the two, and they got JJ to back it up. I think that's a very good backcourt. They got a first round pick from 2024 that's unprotected. A Laker pick. I don't think that's a bad pickup. Lakers might, right, in 2024, LeBron will be 37, 38.
Yeah.
So they shouldn't be too good where that's an insignificant pick. 2021 first round pick that's top eight protected, unprotected in 2022. I'm telling you, in 2022, when LeBron is however old, I'm probably like 35, 36 or something like that. That's a very good – because that's the quote-unquote double draft that everybody's excited about. If you don't know, 2022 is supposed to be when they change the rule.
And when is Bronny – when is LeBron James Jr. eligible to come out of high school?
I think he's my age, so he probably is a 2023 guy. But if they change the high school rule, he'll be a 2022 guy, I think.
I thought he was a 2020 –
I think, is this his first year of high school?
Yeah, first year
of high school. Oh, so he'll be a 2023 guy, I think.
Yeah, so the Lakers have that pick.
If he doesn't want to come out of high school. So
yeah.
The Pelicans, I feel like with in the double draft, if you don't know what the double draft is, 2022 is when the high school rule is supposed to switch over and when 18-year-olds are coming in. So not only will the high school players from that year that decide to come out to be that year, but also you'll get the one-and-dones from college at the same time. Essentially, you're getting all the top 100 players from the past year and maybe the top five. If you get another, like, 2004-esque draft class, you might get eight of the top 10 high school players coming out into the draft. So you've got the best high school college players plus the top high school players coming at the same exact time. That is like everything, because the second round, the late first is going to be key because it's going to be stacked low into the second round. So that's a great pickup. And Brandon Ingram, I say this and I'll say it again. I think Brandon Ingram's a great player and just needs a change of scenery. He's my vote for most improved player this next year.
Okay.
I feel like he just needs a change because Los Angeles doesn't use him right. They try him at three. They try him at point guard. It's just like y'all don't know what to do with him. So with him at three,
DeAndre Hunter,
which they flipped to Atlanta, who from Virginia was the a lockdown dude. He's a jack of all trades dude again. They compared him to Jay Crowder on draft night. I can only imagine your regular NBA fan just knowing that your team passed on Rui Hachimura being compared to Kawhi Leonard. And DeAndre Hunter compared to Jay Crowder. If you're a regular NBA fan and you just have like common knowledge, you have like basic knowledge, I would be throwing a chair if I knew my team picked Jay Crowder over Kawhi Leonard. Like,
right,
that would make me so mad. And they compare Kobe White to like, they compare Jared Culver to Jimmy Butler, Kobe White to like Gilbert Arenas. So it's like I would be so incredibly mad if my team picked Jay Crowder over Kawhi Leonard. But that's something else. Los Angeles picked up a first round pick, might pick Bronny. I feel like that's what LeBron's going to retire with. I feel like LeBron's going to go out, play 1 year with his kid. Because he did. It's weird because LeBron has his kid is 18 years old. So it's like his kid's like only a little bit younger than him. It's only like a 15-year age difference. So he'll probably play. I'm assuming he'll play 1 year with his kid. And then peace out, or 18-year age difference. He'll play with his kid 1 year and peace out. I feel like that's exactly what LeBron's going to do. Play 1 year with the kid, be done. He'll retire. He'll go on to do something else. Yeah, so.
That'd be interesting.
That'll be interesting. That's a great way to go out playing with your son. I don't think that's ever happened in NBA history, has it? A kid playing with their son playing with their dad? No. I know that people have been – coached. Austin Rivers was coached by his dad. But I've never seen, I don't think it's ever happened when a player played with their kid. So that'll be very interesting. And then Anthony Davis, again, I feel like Anthony Davis, as long as he doesn't miss 30 games, will last for the Lakers. He'll be a very good team as long as he doesn't get hurt all the time. So
we're going to book him to miss 20, though.
Yeah, we'll just write it down for the predictions that he'll miss 20. LeBron, assuming he gets hurt again, which is unlikely but also very likely considering his age, they might be two. I still have them as a 2-seed because they still have a phenomenal bench. Also, the best thing about this trade that I don't think anybody's covered is they didn't have to give up Kuzma to do it because they demanded Kuzma at the deadline.
Right.
But they didn't have to do that to get this done because New Orleans was desperate to get him off.
Right.
So I feel like this is a great pickup for all three teams, I'm going to say, because the Lakers got Anthony Davis, which makes them an automatic contender. New Orleans got what they want. They got the best young core in Josh Hart, Lonzo, Ingram, and Zion with Jackson Hayes, Nickeil Alexander-Walker all on one team.
Amazing.
So you got absolutely the first amazing pick. The eighth pick, I think, was Jackson Hayes. Yeah, Jackson Hayes was the eighth pick. You've got the 17th pick in Nickeil Alexander-Walker, a former 27th pick in Josh Hart, a former second pick in Lonzo, and a former second pick in Brandon Ingram. That's the best young core there is. There isn't. And you got the first pick in the draft. There's no better core than that. I can't think of any young team better than that. And then the Wizards, three young dudes around 23 years old. One of them has to hit just a little bit. Just a little bit. I'm not asking for a superstar. I'm just saying one of them has to kind of hit. Right. So next we got the Jordan Bone trade. So there's not much to say. Philly got a second round pick that's top 50. It's 56 through 60 protected and 2023 second round pick in Jordan Bone. Atlanta picked up my boy Bruno. That about wraps it up for us. Fine words I got to say before we leave here. Shout out to Joe Jesus for that step back 4-point game winner in Big Three. This man is having the greatest season I've ever seen in Big Three. This man, hold on, let me pull up the stats. This dude is averaging 1.2 steals, 3.8 assists, 8 rebounds, and 21.7 points a game on Big Three, where they only score 50 points to win.
He's an amazing player. He can still get it done, man.
He hit a step-back 4-pointer with a heavy contest to win the game.
Right.
This
what
dude
can you do, man?
Is the coldest player I've ever seen in Big 3. He shouldn't be out here. This is what I imagine it would be like if like Kobe had gotten out here.
Well, I think that he's having fun. You know, it's a lot different than the NBA, right? Joe only has to do it, you know, one time a week. And I think that, you know, he enjoys doing that. You know, these guys are amazing players. It's just they can't do it all the time. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
I think that's the only difference. He's got to run up and down the floor all the time. You know, all that stuff that wears on him. But, man, give him a game a week or two games a week. Ooh, you're going to see it, man.
Yeah.
You're going to see it.
So, yeah. That wraps us up. Tune in next episode. I know this is a little longer than usual. We had to get all these trades in because we got a lot of signings to talk about this next time. So, yeah. Peace out.
Peace.